We certainly thank God for the opportunity to be here tonight. I was thinking of that song, one of the songs we sing, and it is well, too. Part that sticks out to me every time is that our sin, not in part, but in whole. And let's get that thing back just a little bit. This sticks out to me, you know, because most denominations, basically that's how they live. We're in their sin and no freedom from it. And I know people are quick to point out things in people's lives and their things that they're doing, but my question for them is, well, you teach that you have to sin daily. You teach that there's no victory over sin. So what do you expect them to do? What do you expect them to do? But I thank God I serve a God that gives you victory over sin. Not part of it, but all of it. When God saved me, He didn't ask me, He didn't tell me I could forgive you from this, this, and this. But that thing right there, you're going to have to keep doing it. Because I can't give you victory over that. But our God's bigger than that. Our God is much more powerful than that. And I thank God tonight. That's not what we're going to be preaching on, but teaching on. But we just want to go to God and ask Him for His help, for His guidance tonight. Pretty nervous, so you pray for us. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for this night, Father, and this time You allow us to come together, Lord. God, we call upon You again, Father. We need You, Lord. We just ask, God, You'd help us, Father, deliver our thoughts that You lay on our heart, God. And we pray, Lord, that You would just lead and guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And if you want to turn with us to Luke chapter 8, that's where we'll be talking to you tonight from. God's help. And I know that springtime's coming up, and everybody's maybe already done it. I'm not sure. I don't do much of my lawn. It grows good enough. I have to mow it once a week or twice a week if it rains, so I don't want no fertilizer on it. I don't put no grass seed out. But I do know a little bit about sowing grass and about planting the garden a little bit. In the parable tonight, we want to look at it as the sower of the seed. But oftentimes, we as Christians, we try to measure growth by how many people come out, or how many people come out in this year. We've had this many saved. But you really can't measure growth by just that. You really can't measure growth by that. You really, even as Christians, we have to sow seeds to other Christians. Because we don't really, when you're first saved, you don't get it all. I'm glad you don't get everything one time because you couldn't handle it. So we really can't measure growth by how many is in the congregation or how many is assembling together. We have to measure growth by their spiritual growth. And one good way you can do that is by seeing. Are they spreading the seed? Are they spreading God's Word? You know, there's definitely work to do after the seeds are sown in a garden or in grass. You just don't throw grass seed down, Brother CJ, and it just grows and you never do anything with it. If you walk on it, trample on it, and you'll see some scripture, and I'm going to go into that in a minute, but if you throw your grass seed down and you start walking on it, or you don't put your straw down to hold it there, keep birds out of it some, still going to get in it probably a little bit, but it won't be there. The rain will come, the rain like we had today, it'd be gone. There wouldn't be any more seed left, probably at best, even if you put stuff down to prevent it. Sometimes it'll still get washed away. But you still have to sow it if you want to fix the bare spots. And no matter what the land, the ground is, sometimes we don't know what it is. I don't know everybody's hearts here tonight. But I know God asked me to sow the seed. But look with us at chapter 8, the book of Luke. Verse number 4, we'll start out. And when much people were gathered together and came to Him out of every city, He spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorn sprang up with it and choked it out. And the other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." I want to stop there for a second. You sow a few seeds, some of it's going to get withered away. Some of it may come up because it ain't got no water, it ain't got no moisture. It dries out and dies. Some of it may get thrown among the thorns. And I know this from planting a garden, that you grow things too close together, something's going to die out. Something may grow better than others because the other one ain't getting what it needs. Or you may just have a lot of things growing, but really no fruit coming from it. So we have to make sure we plant our gardens that we plant it far enough apart so it gets the moisture. But a seed, a fruit, has to have moisture, has to have the nutrients that it needs. But what I've just seen, just since I got here tonight, is the last verse 8, that fell on the good ground, it bare fruit 100-fold. Now that one bad seed died. But the one that lived, that's the Christians, they bear 100-fold. Have we bared 100-fold tonight? I haven't. But I thought about that. You know, those ones that die, they're a one. But just think about the ones that do live, how it spreads 100-fold. How much it can spread. God's word spreads in their lives. And I thought about the people that have a living testimony. That every day, no matter if you're talking to anybody, it's just the way you act and you handle yourself. As a Christian, it doesn't have to be, "No, I'm a Christian and I want you to know I'm a Christian." No, you don't have to do that. Because people judge us and look at us and ask prayer when they're in need because of the fruit, because of the seeds we have sown them. Because maybe they have talked to us harshly, but we've been able to put the kind word back onto them. Or maybe just not say nothing at all. Or maybe they've watched you go through a trial or a storm and knew the circumstances in your life. You've been able to share it with them. But they say, "Man, how did they go through that?" That's what the good seed does. 100-fold. It spreads. It spreads. When you see that tomato plant, one tomato plant bear forth 20, 30 tomatoes, next year you want to spread more seeds. You want to grow a few more tomatoes, cucumber plants, whatever. That's the way it is with Christians. When we see somebody sprout and grow, yeah, we've seen a lot of people come, and a lot of people wither away and die. But how about the ones we've seen come and stick and grow and put forth the fruit? I was thinking about what Brother Robert was talking about with Sister Teresa's mom, with Brother Shannon. He hasn't been back to God too long, but God's already given him fruit. And he's able to share it, spreading the seed. Because Brother Shannon can give a testimony. Not just from where God brought him from, but I'm looking for God to help him with this kidney thing. So how much can he spread it out? It's up to us. Do we enjoy what we do for God? Do we enjoy living for God? Do we enjoy it so that we want to spread the good word? In verse 11, and I'll just skip down to that, but I just want to read this one verse. Because the parable, it says, the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. How much of the word of God comes out of our life? How much? Last week, I won't embarrass my wife or anything, but we had a disagreement. And I heard Brother Corley say when things are going bad, from go from molasses to sugar. I think that's what it was. And during this disagreement, my wife reminded me, because I keep saying, I want to go from molasses to sugar. That was tough to swallow. She told me that. Because I wasn't showing the sugar, Brother Casey. I was wanting to become salt. But that's the attribute of a Christian. That's right. If I'd have went to work, or wherever I was actually going to eat lunch with Tori, in a grumpy, foul, ill mood, what kind of seed could I spread at that school? At work, could have been the same thing. What kind of seed do I show them then? No, it's no secret that even though we're Christians, husband and wife, you may tell me this, but I'll never believe you. You're going to have disagreements. And you don't have the perfect life, the perfect marriage. I think we have good marriages. It may be perfect in God's eyes, but what I'm saying is, though, that there's never any turmoil. But they can know that we love each other. And everybody doesn't have to know it when there's turmoil. Even though our children may know it, our people around us may know it that we know. But what I'm trying to get across is that we've got to be able to still sow the seed. For me anyway, I know for women it's different. I like to take care of things when they happen. She wants me to let her calm down. Or process it and get through it. But I want to take care of it. And I had to work on that because I found when I have been able just to let her, and I'm not just trying to point men in the life out, maybe no other woman's like this, or maybe no other man does this, but it's not the best time to talk to her, and I should know that. But I found the times that I can just let it go and cool off and get away from her for a little while, it's a whole lot easier. But what, I don't want to get up on that subject. But my mind's just being, though, that we have got to, as God's people, be able to show something a little bit better. Than what the world has to offer. I had no intention on preaching on marriage in the home, but my mind's going that way, so I'm just going to go there, but you know, what the world has today is marriage and a home. It's not what God's Word teaches. You get married 1 week, and because, or 1 month, and because one does something the other one don't like, well, we can just give them an old divorce, whatever, for no reason. That's not the way God would have it. In our homes. It's not God's will, there's constant turmoil in our homes. It's not. It's God's will that we live amongst each other peacefully. And that means husband and wife too. Because other than God, if you're married, your wife should really be your best friend. Whenever you have a burden that you can't talk to anybody else, you ought to be able to talk to your wife about it. Or at least let her know that you have some burdens on your heart. You know, there's some things I try not to share with my wife because I don't want to burden her with it, but she can tell. But tonight, you know, God, the thought laid on my heart about these seeds, you know, even as we sow our seed and they come up and they get choked out, as the scripture says, if you're planting a garden or you plow fields and you're trying to grow corn, let's just use corn, for instance, to raise, just because it doesn't grow that year, or it grows and it dies, you just close down and fold up shop and you give up on it. Most of the farmers don't do that. They probably get a soil sample, they find out what nutrients they need, and they plant again. So it's what we got to do. You think of the ones that have come back to God now. What if those that had been talking to them or dealing with them or inviting them to church or however had gave up. Not sown the seed back to them. They couldn't have made it back. So I guess just what I'm trying to say is just because a seed dies doesn't mean that ground can't be fertile again. Even the ones that have rocks in it. I remember growing up, my grandma had a garden, and my grandpa lived down below me, and they had rocks. I hated it, picking up rocks out of the garden. I don't know how rocks grow, but they must grow. Plow that garden, till it, whatever you call it, turn it, whatever it is. You turn it upside down, and you till it, and man, there's 100 rocks in it. We just had them up last year, but they're back. But it takes work. If you're going to prepare ground, it takes work. God may send Brother Michael over to prepare some ground, and He may send Brother Preston to plant some seed. But it takes work. Being a Christian is not for the lazy person. Because if you expect to come into service and only get the only time you open your Bible, the only time you pray, the only time you think anything on God besides in here in the service, you're not going to make it. Not going to make it. Your seed is being choked out by other things, the Scripture says, growing amongst the thorns. So many things in our life, even right now, try to work its way in. And we have to sometimes go in and weed it out. I love you and enjoy it. If you ever had a garden, have to go in there and weed it all the time. I hate it. 1 year, didn't get to weed nothing, didn't get nothing out of it. Planted it, it was pretty at first, didn't get a thing out of it. That's exactly what'll happen. If we sow our seeds, and we don't keep at it, don't keep working it, it ain't going to grow. Seed sowing, Brother Rusty, is not one time going out throwing some seeds and not going back to it anymore. It's not that. Seed sowing is not. Plowing a Christian garden, so to speak, if you want to call it that, is not just throwing some seeds in the garden or on the ground and expecting to grow on its own. Sometimes you got to water it, you got to degrass it, whatever, weed it. You got to spray that stuff on to keep them bugs off of it from eating it. There's a lot of work involved. Bring it over spiritually, that's a lot of work involved. After someone's saved, you still have to ward off the enemy from them. You still have to be able to go with them, talk with them, pray with them. Can't just leave them. Sow more seed. And I know it's not really seed, but it's still the same thing. Fertilizer, keeping it going, keeping it growing. How much you put into it. Another scripture says, what you sow, you shall reap. If you reap to the flesh, you'll reap flesh. Corruption. You sow the spirit, you'll reap spiritual. So, you know, what are we sowing? What are we walking a Christian walk for, Brother Casey? Is it just so you can make it to heaven? It's not. It's not just so I can make it to heaven. You know what? I got a mom, a brother, and a grandma that I love dearly. And not just them, that's just my family members. I'm just, and my dad. I want to see them saved. And then goes out from there. Not just my family, but other people's family. Families sitting right here right now have family members that need salvation. We've got to spread the seed, the Word of God. If we fail to do that, we have failed as Christians. We have failed. And I don't know, God knows my heart, says Tanya, I didn't have this thought because of what you said. I already had it out. Because we have got to, as God's people, be willing. And Sister Tanya used her own testimony. Get out of her bubble. Get out of my bubble. It's the easiest in the world thing for me to go up to talk to somebody about something I want to talk about. So when God asked, I've often thought about that illustration with Brother Emerson. He said it was at an auction, I believe. And God told him to get up there and preach to them people. And he told God, no, he's going to walk away, I believe. And the steps he started walking back, he could feel God's Spirit leaving him. I don't think he ended up having to do it, but he told God he would. And he was going to. That's why we got to be. If God asks us to, that's the hardest thing to do. Because I want to make sure God's telling me to. But at the same time, I want to make sure that I don't fail God either. So if you're in doubt, you better do it. At least tell them God loves you. But to sow the seed of God is important. It's probably, other than our spirit, our prayer life, our study life, and our witness, it's probably one of the most important things. God, we don't want to keep this just to ourselves. Amen. I know I'm thankful that, you know, they were going to go visit my grandmother Monday night, but she was already ready for bed and didn't want any company. But I'm thankful that some started going out more and seeing others. That's how we're going to spread our seed. Well, how do you do it? What do you say to people when you go up to them and just talk to them? Ask God to give you that wisdom. There's no manual, Brother Mike. It doesn't tell you in Corinthians for this situation to talk to them about this. Or in that situation, talk to them. That's what God gave us His Spirit for. That's how God wants us to sow the seed. Yeah, there's some ground that's going to be ready when you sow it. It's going to be ready right then. It's going to sprout. You may see fruit from it quick. Or maybe others, you have to plant it and you have to wait. 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 I heard Brother Clark, I think, one time he said it took him 20 years. I believe it was 20. He gave his family in 10, 20. I don't remember what it was exactly, but it was a long time. But it's because of that seed he sowed faithfully. Maybe it didn't come up the first time he sowed it, but he had to keep doing it. And that's what we have to do. A farmer, he don't give up. If he's a farmer, that's how he makes his living, he ain't going to give up, Brother Robert. Remember Brother Robert was trying to plant some corn last year. I believe it was last year, year before that. And he put some stuff in the ground, didn't you? It didn't do too good, did it? Not one good ear. Did you give up? Bad example. I say if it's the only thing Brother Robert would have been able to eat, he wouldn't have gave up. That's good.
That's what you got to do spiritually, brothers. You got to wait till you're in proper condition to fulfill the task. You can waste time. You can wait like that. But if God's not leading, if He's not blessing you to do this, if He's not preparing the ground, if everything's not working together, you can tear up your ground. You can put the corn in the ground. You can fertilize it. You can do all that stuff. But if God's Spirit's not there, it's not going to work.
Right.
You need all of it working together.
Yep. Got to be all together. He brought up a good point. It has to be, everything has to be ready. And that starts with us. It starts with us. Yes. Yep. God has have us in a place where we can sow the seed. He don't do us to go into anywhere with the empty seed basket. Won't do us a bit of good. And you ask how you fill your seed basket up? You're spiritually ready. Can't be nothing in our life. If there's anything in our life, we can't help anybody else. The Bible says, in one scripture about getting the mote out of our own eye first, before we can help anybody else. That's where it has to start at. God will do His part. God will get the ground ready. But we have to be willing to sow the seed. I haven't used any of my notes tonight except for the first little thing on there, and I feel like that God's done burdened my heart with what I have. There's a, I had a few more verses, but I don't believe God had me to read them tonight. But, you know, tonight we go out tomorrow. And I don't say this because Brother Preston's here. And I'm not saying this to lift him up, but I want to give him some flowers. If you talk to Brother Preston very long, you're going to put God into it. And not just him, there's others. But I often thought about Brother Preston. He put tracks in a lot of places. And I don't know that he's ever seen anything come of it. Two. Out of how many?
1,800 or so tracks.
All right. So he sowed a lot. But I can't judge Brother Preston by only two coming out of 1,800. He sowed the seed. That's what God commissions us to do, is sow the seed. What the person does with it is up to them. What this world does with it is up to them. What God commissions us to do is sow the seed. I don't believe we'll stand before God and He'll say, well, out of those 25,000 seeds you sown, only one of them sprouted. You didn't do too good. God's going to see that you spread the 25,000 seed, so to speak. I'm using a number, but God's going to see the seed that you sowed, that you put forth the effort tonight. So, if nothing else, you know, God has worked on this with me, because I see places that I could do more seed sowing. There's places that we could sow more seeds. Now, some of us don't have as big a garden as others, Brother Casey. Some of us may not have as much contact with other people. But with the people we do have contact with, are we sowing our seed to them? Are we showing them God's Spirit? Are we telling them something when God tells us to tell them? Brother Ken talked about that, the hind, and what it meant. And to think about that, the deer, as I said Sunday night, it has the keenest hearing of any animal. Or one of the many animals, but it has probably one of the most keen sense of hearing. You can be sitting and deer hunting and make one slight little sound, and it's going to stop. And it's going to look, and it's going to find what made that sound, or try to. If it don't, after a while, it'll stand still. If it don't and get scared, it's going to run. But when God tells us, slight as faint, sow the seed, or we're going to stop. Find out where He wants us to sow it, sow it. But that's what I have, Brother Robert.